So we've already gone over what our main topic is, so I'm going to go ahead and jump right into this. We plan to argue that genetically modified organisms are an important tool for pest management, and that some of the advantages from the uses of GMOs include the reduction of insecticide use, a decrease in damage by pests, and an increase in product yield. Finally, we'll make the case that the benefits that these benefits are grounds for incorporating GMOs into pest management programs. During the first 12 years since their inceptions, studies have reported that the continued increase in the uses of GMOs. And this is due in part by the perception that GMOs produce consistent and substantial benefits. GM crop usage has continued to grow, and even within the last 5 years, we've seen that they've reached upwards of 280 million acres of planted GMO products. Consequently, insecticide use has seen a decline, and as the amount of GMO products increase, this is due in part to the fact that GMOs will replace, or they substitute spraying of insecticides. And finally, the reduction of insecticide use is seen mainly because it's less advantageous to apply pesticides when the GM products are in use. A 2007 study reviewed a period between 1996 and 2006 and concluded that there has been a substantial reduction in the amount of pesticides produced, and they estimated it to be around 289,000 metric tons of active ingredients.
When we view the topic of reduced levels of crop damage and increased crop yield, studies have shown that the primary reason farmers switched to using BT corn was because they saw an increase in the crop yield. Farmers in Illinois saw a 32% increase, a 39% increase was seen in Iowa, and a 60% increase was seen in Minnesota. Another study showed that there was an overall increase of 260 million pounds of BT cotton, along with a 3.5 billion pounds of BT corn. As far as damage goes, farmers using BT corn thought that they were fully able to realize the actual damage the European corn borer was causing to their plants after implementing the BT planting. It was also shown that 100% of non-transgenic plants not protected in any way were defoliated by the Colorado potato beetle, compared to less than 5% of potato plants that had been genetically modified. In the same study, significant reduction to Colorado potato beetle larvae on new leaf potatoes was seen, and these plants also had better control levels than conventional insecticide usage. This decrease in damage and higher crop yields lead directly to an increase in economic return for farmers. U.S. growers not only increased profits on BT cotton by $99 million in 1999, but a 16 million pound reduction in insecticide use also meant that farmers had to invest less capital in the beginning of their farming season and throughout the growing season. Scouting efforts for some farmers have also decreased. This again decreases the amount of money that farmers have to spend checking for target pests. Finally, GMO crops have the potential and ability to be applied in low economic countries and provide a significant economic gain for these countries.
As far as resistance management of insect pests to GMOs, numerous studies have shown the gene for developing resistance to GMOs in insects is usually recessive. So to combat that, high concentration of toxin in GMOs is used to kill pretty much all pests, which would of course decrease probability that they could produce offspring to be resistant to GMOs. Also, a refuge strategy can be used, which would So in this case, a pest would feed on a GMO crop and then mate with non-resistant pests that fed in a refuge crop, which of course would decrease the probability once more that offspring be produced that are resistant to the GMOs.
As we've illustrated, responsible use of GMOs can increase crop yield in a sustainable fashion. By using refuges, the chance of a large-scale resistance is lowered by always having non-exposed insects available for exposed and possibly resistant insects to mate with. Additionally, a decrease in pesticide use coupled with an increase in crop yield has led to higher profits for farmers. Many farmers throughout the world have recognized the benefits of GMOs and adopted their use in their fields. No single management practice is perfect in every situation. However, when used responsibly, GMOs can play an important role in crop production. And then here are our references. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Texas A&M. We will now provide the Conn team with 3 minutes to ask questions that will allow them to clarify the position that has just been presented by the Pro team.
So my first question to the Pro team is that as a rule, Pro team was supposed to present alternative plan, how to incorporate these things, which I did not see yet. And can you present any definition of IPM that can afford incorporation of GMOs? Because IPM has, the main component of IPM definition is cost-benefit analysis. And how can you do using this technology? Like economic threshold or economic injury level.
Can you repeat the last thing you said, please?
How can you assess the economic injury level or economic threshold level for this technology, for any pest?
In the papers that we read, they didn't give specific values to what the investment was in the BT or genetically modified organisms.
Excuse me, you don't need to answer, you can answer later. But this is either post-crop or just kind of overall assessment. It's not IPM.
They can clarify during this point.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
We're just not debating, so clarify.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm having trouble understanding that actual question. Is it basically if they're investing less money in the beginning and they're receiving a higher crop yield, and therefore they're receiving more economic return from the value?
The actual IPM is to incorporate different techniques and apply them when needed. Can we have any control on the use and not using this technology if not needed? Because it's already in the seed, we don't have any control. Do we?
There are some instances in which the second generation crops do not produce the genetically modified version of the seed. I'm not sure if this is still the case with the Monsanto BT tomato plants, but I think
that contrasts with your refuge strategies.
The yield increases that you quoted from references, were those actually versus comparing BT crops with control with no treatment, or comparing with conventional treatment?
Which instances do you mean?
When you were stating all of those yield increases for the different crops that you were listing.
Those are for BT crops versus conventional treatments.
One last question. So when you were talking about compatibility with sustainable agriculture, you were referring to sustainable agriculture here in developed countries, correct? Not developing countries?